Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 5, Text 2, Translation and Commentary by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Mahat Sevam Dwaram Ahur Vimuktes Tamo Dwaram Yoshitang Sanghi Sangam. Mahantaste samachitta prashanta.
Mahantaste samachitta prashanta.
Vimanyava suhrida sadhavo ye.
Vimanyava suhrida sadhavo ye.
Mahat sevang dwaramahur vimuktes. Hare Krishna. Tamo dwaram yoshitam sanghi sangam. Mahantaste samachita prashanta. Vimanyava suhrida sadhavoye. Translation. One can attain the path of liberation from material bondage only by rendering service to highly advanced spiritual personalities. These personalities are impersonalists and devotees. Whether one wants to merge into the Lord's existence or wants to associate with the personality of Godhead, one should render service to the Mahatmas. For those who are not interested in such activities, who associate with people fond of women and sex, the path to hell is wide open. The Mahatmas are equipoised. They do not see any difference between one living entity and another. They are very peaceful and are fully engaged in devotional service. They are devoid of anger and they work for the benefit of everyone. They do not behave in any abominable way. Such people are known as Mahatmas. Purport. The human body is like a junction. One may either take the path of liberation or the path leading to a hellish condition. How one can take these paths is described herein. On the path of liberation, one associates with Mahatmas, and on the path of bondage, one associates with those attached to sense gratification and women. There are two types of Mahatmas, the impersonalist and the devotee, although their ultimate goal is different. The process of emancipation is almost the same. Both want eternal happiness. One seeks happiness in impersonal Brahman, and the other seeks happiness in the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as described in the first verse, that means the first verse of this chapter. Brahma so kyam. Brahman means spiritual or eternal. Both the impersonalist and the devotee seek eternal blissful life. In any case, it is advised that one become perfect. In the words of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Ashat Sanga Tyag E Vaishnav Acha Sri Sangi Ek Asadhu Krishna Bhakta A. To remain unattached to the modes of material nature, one should avoid associating with those who are Asat, materialistic. There are two kinds of materialists. One is attached to women and sense gratification, and the other is simply a non-devotee. On the positive side is association with Mahatmas, and on the negative side is the avoidance of non-devotees and women hunters. Mahat sevang dwaram ahur vimuktes tamo dwaram yoshitang sanghi sangam. Mahantaste samachitah prashanta. Vimanyava suhrida sadhavo ye. One word in this verse, ahuhu, they say. It's not specifically mentioned who says. It's quite common, we find in Shastra, statements such as this. They say, without clarifying who it is. So it's understood, who says? All the great authorities, they say. The Mahatmas, they say. The Mahatmas say to associate with Mahatmas. So whoever is a Mahatma knows that we have to associate with great devotees because they tell us things like this. Another interesting point in this verse, I mean, you might say it's intellectually interesting, but it's vital to our understanding that we are herein told or advised to associate with highly advanced spiritual personalities and not to associate with rascals, people who are simply interested in material enjoyment, which is specifically stated here, yoshitam sangi, the persons who are attached to women. Now, in the description of the Mahatma, it's stated here, sammachitta, sammachitaha in the plural, equipoised, that is, the one's consciousness is equipoised. And there are very, this is a topic which Sri Krishna in Bhagavad Gita addresses in various ways throughout Bhagavad Gita, various symptoms of being equipoised, to not be disturbed in difficulty or elated in happiness. Sukeshu vigatas, dukeshvano dvigna mana, sukeshu vigatas priha. Bita raga bhayakrodha. So these are some of the symptoms that one is not distressed if one's material facilities are impeded, or one is in a painful situation, or one is not elated when there is an opportunity for sense enjoyment. It's free from anger, attachment, anger, vita, raga, bhaya, and fear. Another symptom of the equipoised person is equal to everyone. So here it's stated, Srila Prabhupada has given an example within the translation. Srila Prabhupada has given an example of how the Mahatmas are equipoised. They do not see any difference between one living entity and another. But the whole purpose of the verse is to distinguish between the Mahatmas and the Duratmas, the great souls and the great rascals. So how do you not distinguish between one and... You have to approach someone, you have to distinguish between the Mahatma and the rascal, and approach the Mahatma. And the Mahatma is someone who doesn't distinguish between others. But you have to distinguish between others so you can understand who's a Mahatma. Of course, when it's said they don't distinguish between one and another, that is not an absolute statement. As Srila Prabhupada sometimes explained, regarding the Bhagavad Gita verse in which Krishna talks about this equanimity of mind of the pundit, an actually learned person, that vidya vinaya sampanne brahmane gavi hastini shuni chaiva shvapake cha pandita samadarshanaha. That the pundit, a truly learned person, samadarshan, he sees with equal vision, which is one symptom of being sammachitta, equipoised. Sammachitta means that one's consciousness is fixed in equanimity, that it doesn't wobble this way and that way. So such learned persons see a learned and gentle Brahmana, Vidyavaneya Sampane Brahmane, a cow, an elephant, female elephant, a dog, and a dog eater is the same. But it doesn't mean that you treat them the same. You don't embrace a tiger, because the human body is suitable for self-realization. So you're liable to lose your human body quickly if you embrace a tiger. Some tigers are tame, but even then, I wouldn't recommend embracing them. The human body is meant for self-realization. Naratanu bhajane mool narottam das. The root of bhajan, worship of Krishna. You have to have a human body. In this material world, you have to have a human body. So there, seeing all equally means one sees them all as devotees of Krishna, sees them all as spirit souls, but there's a difference in outlook also. That there is a conventional difference in outlook. We have to act according to the laws of this material world. That story is there of the Brahman realized soul, who the Shishya, who learned from his guru that everything is all the same, all is all one, and everything, it's all Brahman. So he was happened to be walking in the bazaar, meditating how everything is all one, when a maddened elephant was coming down the street and everyone's running, shouting out, "Get out of the way, get out of the way." And he thought, well, it's all Brahman. So the maddened elephant came and knocked him over, and he hobbled back to the ashram and said, well, if all is one, then why did the elephant knock me out of the way? He said, well, I'm Brahman, that's Brahman, so why did that Brahman treat me like that? And he said, well, all the other Brahmans, they were also shouting to you to get out of the way. So, it's not practical. In this world, we may see everyone as part and parcel of Krishna, but there's a distinction. There's a distinction between heaven and hell, between the material existence and spiritual existence. So one should associate with persons who are spiritually advanced. It makes a difference. It's not that it's all the same. This is actually highly advanced spiritual knowledge. This is in the fifth canto of Bhagavatam. And this statement, which is made by Lord Rishabhdev, to understand this, one has to have so much background knowledge. It's like if you want to do astronomy, you have to have knowledge of mathematics, advanced knowledge of mathematics. You need some background knowledge to even enter into it. So here, in this verse, it's not stated, but it's understood that the hearers, that they already understand the point that human life is meant for God realization, that this world is a place of suffering, we are eternal souls, we have to get out of this situation. So even to give this instruction requires that the students already have a good background of basic spiritual knowledge. And of course, it makes sense. Srila Prabhupada gave the example regarding association that everyone associates according to their proclivity. Just like he gave the example that businessmen, they form a chamber of commerce so they can all get together and discuss about their needs. The chamber of commerce may combinedly make a petition to the local administration that we need better roads, better infrastructure, or they may make that you have to lower the tariffs because it's impeding our business, and like this. they get together for the purpose of conjointly furthering their ends, and whatever it may be. There may be a cricket supporters club or something like that, supporting some team, and they all get together and they organize trips to matches or whatever. They get together according to their need. So we're advised to advance with, associate with highly advanced spiritual personalities, and not to associate with those by whose association we will enter into darkness. Tamodwaram, the path to darkness, the path to ignorance, the path to hell. Or as Srila Prabhupada translates it here, the way to the dungeon of a dark, hellish condition of life. So it makes a difference who we associate with. It's a basic instruction or a basic principle that we have to understand in Krishna consciousness. And actually, anyone, it's specifically stated because we have uncontrolled minds and we tend to gravitate toward that which pleases the mind. But we should rather associate not with those people who necessarily please our mind, but who benefit our soul. Pleasing the mind, then we have to associate with the tamodwari, the people who are gates to hell. The temporary pleasure to the mind gives long-term distress. There's so many examples given of the senses, how we're captured by the senses. The flute playing of the hunter sounds so sweet, and the deer comes and is attracted, and the deer is an easy prey and is shot. The elephant is attracted by the spectacular beauty of the she elephant, who is trained. They're attracted. You're not attracted. I'm not attracted. But the elephant is attracted to what he perceives as the stunning beauty of the she elephant. And he's captured. And they probably think the same thing when they say humans. What are they going? What are they going after that for? These elephants are much more beautiful, and so on. The bee is attracted by the smell of the lotus, which can't give it up as it closes at night and shuts him up in prison. So this is relevant instruction to any human being. It follows on the previous verse, which is also a famous verse among followers of Srila Prabhupada, because several of these verses of Rishabhdev's instructions were frequently quoted by Srila Prabhupada. The first verse of this chapter is Rishabhuvacha, then Nayang deho deha bhajang rilo ke kashtan kaman arhate vidbhujam ye. Vidbhuja, what a word. Don't be like a stool eater. Tapo divyam putraka yena sattvam shudhyad yasmad brahma sokyam tvanantam. Do not live like a stool eater. Virbhuja means this human life is not meant for living like a stool eater. Having attained this human life, one should perform austerity, by which one can attain eternal, unlimited, transcendental happiness. So it's quite a challenge there. It's quite a challenging call. It's challenges people. It's quite different to what we might call the New Age approach of saying, well, everything's nice, everything's wonderful, just smile and watch the clouds. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. But rather it's a challenge that we're living like pigs, stool eaters. This fifth canto used to be produced in two volumes. I remember we were distributing them in London, and one volume came back through the letterbox of our temple, Sevenbury Place. Someone had taken the trouble to come to the temple and put it in the letterbox, and all the pages were scribbled out. They'd gone to the trouble of scribbling all over the pages and then gave it back to express their great discontent at being given. Of course, they had to pay for it. Maybe they stole it. Sometimes people steal the books also. But they did not, like they expressed, they do not like this at all. Still, we have to distribute books. Actually, we should think that we might consider that, considering there's so many books distributed and the message is so vital and clear and demanding, that why don't more people or everyone who gets the book just take it up, you see? You want to go to hell by associating with hellish people. You can instead get eternal life. One reason in the Western countries especially, and that's here now also, is there may be many reasons for this, but one reason is a religious education. Because, and of course the education here follows the Western pattern, so they teach in the schools religious education. Muslims believe this, Christians believe this, and Muslims do this, they pray five times a day facing toward Makkah, and it's just written, but it's written something like in the biology class or something like that, that the caterpillars turn into butterflies and tadpoles turn into frogs. It's just information, that's all. It's the idea that they have it. It's not that, well, to understand God and to worship God is the very meaning of life. It's just something. Well, it's something there. It's very important in human society, and so we'll tell people about it. And then we can all live together very happily. Hindu, Muslim, bhai, bhai. And we'll see all the religions are good. And the Muslims believe this, and the Christians believe this, and these are the Muslim festivals, and these are the Christian festivals, and these are the Hindu festivals. But it's just some information like that, like you study butterflies or something like that. It's not that you have to commit yourself, and rather the idea is that, well, different people believe different things, and anyway, it's just a matter of belief. And if you're born in a Muslim family, then you celebrate Eid, and if you're born in a Hindu family, then you celebrate Diwali, and of course, in your biology class, you learn that anyway, we're all just descended from monkeys, and you know, this is just religion, is just part of life, but it's not really, it's not scientific. It's just what people believe. So one reason that people don't take it seriously is they think, well, it's a Hindu belief. That's all. It's what these people believe. That's all. So actually, this point, Srila Prabhupada used to stress this, is not a question of belief. Believe or not believe, birth, death, old age and disease is there. When Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, He doesn't say, well, this is a Hindu book and the Hindus have birth, death, old age and disease. And the Muslims don't. But it's a fact which applies to everyone. Srila Prabhupada, when he was asked how to preach among Muslims, he said, they just speak Bhagavad Gita, that's all. It's not something that happens to Hindus. Because I'm a Hindu, I was born and then I grew up. Does it make any sense to say that? It happens to everyone. So in this way we can distinguish between the body and the body and the owner of the body. Deha and Dehi. They're separate entities. The body changes, the owner of the body doesn't change. When the body changes from an old body to a dead body, the owner of the body gets a new body. So this is not a question of belief. But people, asat sangha, the people of atheistic temperament, they've discovered this very, this insidious manner. Insidious means it's nasty, but it looks nice. Veiled. It's like embracing someone and you have a knife in your hand and you stab them in the back like that. But even more so that they don't even know they're being stabbed in the back. They don't even know. He's like secretly feeding people poison or something. Nice food. Very nice. So we're all nice. Yes, we should have religious education. And we are a tolerant country. We let everyone believe what they like. But very subtly, they put the idea, well, these are different beliefs. And actually, the actually intelligent people, they don't believe all these things. You see. But anyway, other people like to believe it, so we tolerate it. It's all right. We have to tolerate their beliefs. And if one of their beliefs is that we should blow up hotels and things like that, well, that's not very good. We might arrest them and then let them go again, in many cases. But we can't blame the whole religion because we don't lose the votes. So the books, these books of Srila Prabhupada, they are the theme, among the many themes which, well, there are several predominant themes. The basic theme is that we should all surrender to Krishna. But Srila Prabhupada's presentation is specifically distinguishing reality from illusion for the benefit of all. That we could say is the underlying theme of everything in Srila Prabhupada's books. His lectures, his Srimad Bhagavatam lectures are different from those of most Bhagavatam lecturers. And his purports, he's not mostly speaking about Leela, but he's distinguishing reality from illusion for the welfare of all. And then when you've understood what is reality and what is illusion, then discuss Krishna Leela. But otherwise, if we're not clear, then we'll think Krishna Leela, we don't know what's the difference, and we think it's just some stories, and that's all. Or we're Hindus, and we listen to Krishna Leela, and the Muslims, they don't. We may have so many misconceptions. We listen to Krishna Leela, and we think that, well, by listening to the story of Krishna and the gopis, I'll become like a gopi, and like the gopis, out of my intense love for Krishna, I'll merge into Krishna. That's what many people think. That's a common interpretation, how the gopis became one with Krishna. By bhakti, they all merged into Krishna. It's just crazy ideas. So we have to associate with pure devotees. This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he was asked, what is the symptom of a Vaishnava? Then this verse Srila Prabhupada quoted, Asat Sangha Tyag E Vaishnava Cha Shri Sangi Ek Ashadhu Krishna Bhakta. You have to pronounce that properly. If you say Krishna Bhakta, it has exactly the opposite meaning. So, the symptom of Vaishnava is that he should give up Asat Sangha, those who are not on the platform of Sat, those who are Asat, those who are on the material platform. And then he went on, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained this, Stri Sangi, Eka Sadhu, one who associates with women. What are the women supposed to do? Say, hear this. Well, it should be understood. The principle, it means those who are interested in material enjoyment. So, one should not associate with anyone on the platform of material enjoyment. And the Krishna Bhakta, Krishna Abhakta, they are those who are not devotees. They might be not gross materialists. So that includes impersonalists. Now here, Srila Prabhupada explains there are two kinds of Mahatmas, and one is an impersonalist. So if you want to be an impersonalist, then associate with impersonalists. They're not materialists. Real impersonalists are not materialists. But we don't want to associate with them. We want to associate with devotees of Krishna. The non-devotees, they also have their Mahatmas among them. Just like Mahatma Gandhi, he was called Mahatma. He wasn't a devotee of Krishna. So we don't consider him a Mahatma. But they have their Mahatmas. They, people who they respect. I was talking about this yesterday. I mean, in India, for the last generation, or actually two generations, Amitabh Bachchan, not in Tamil Nadu, they don't care a damn about him, but in most of India, well, North India, South India in general, Hyderabad, yeah, because they see Hindi movies. Anyway, he's considered a great personality, and really, really up there. And Sachin, I think Shiv Sena don't like him, but apart from them, it's like you can't say anything bad about him. Even Bal Thackeray, when Sachin spoke against one of his policies, then even he wouldn't speak against him in reply. He just said, well, you stick to cricket and leave me to do the politics. It's like the greatest blasphemy. You couldn't imagine to speak anything against him. Plays cricket. So they have their Mahatmas. Now one Mahatma resigned as the head of the Beef Eaters Church. So they can, great personality. So we should know who is actually a great personality. Bhagavatam describes who is great, who is not great. Shvavirvara hostra karai. Sangstuta purusha pashuhu. Nayad karna patopetas jatu nama gadagraja. From this verse we can understand who is the Mahatma, who is not the Mahatma. Who does not glorify the name of Krishna is not a Mahatma. They glorify other people. But it's just like one dog glorifying another dog. Actually, dogs don't glorify each other. But the example is one pig, vidvaraha, stool-eating hog. So people who are like dogs, hogs, camels, and asses, they praise other people who are like dogs, hogs, camels, and asses. But they never care that in their ear will enter the name of Krishna, Gadagraja. That's the younger brother of Gada. So, all these highly praised people, they're all like hogs, dogs, camels, and asses. This is the version of Shastra. And we can see also, what are people, the great personalities, what are they interested in? So-called great personalities of this world. The hogs are interested in eating stool. The camels, they're interested in eating thorns, which is their own blood. And Srila Prabhupada comments, it's just like people, they like to indulge in sexual activities, which means their semen is being discharged. They're enjoying the taste of their own blood. And asses, simply working hard, work. And dogs, well, I think in any culture of the world, to call someone a dog is an insult, or an ass. So people are like dogs, hogs, camels, and asses. then not interested in glorifying Krishna. So we should not associate with such people. We should associate with people who are chanting the names of Krishna. There is no more exalted activity in the universe than chanting the name of Krishna. This Krishna consciousness movement is meant for spreading or popularizing the chanting of the name of Krishna. But then we see there are also people who chant the name of Krishna, but who are also Stri Sangi. That's just like there's this Bhakti Fest is now organized in America. It's an American edition of the Nam Yagya they have in Bangladesh, where people are paid to chant Hare Krishna. The idea started off in our village. Every year we should organize a festival where just for one day or 2 days or 3 days, sometimes maximum 7 days. Mostly they can't afford to run. We'll all get together and we'll have continuous kirtan. So it's a nice idea. But somehow it became commercialized. I guess some people are very expert. They call them to the next village. And then the next village. I'm just speculating how it became commercial. And they said, well, we can't keep on going to one after another. We have to plow our fields and we have to do whatever else we're doing, making pots. Said, oh, all right, well, we'll give you something to cover that. And so like this, it became gradually commercialized. And so the person who can make the best performance, they become famous all over the country and they get called here and there and it becomes a whole prestige thing. Which town, and now in the towns, the businessmen, who can organize the biggest Nam Yagya with all the biggest bands and distribute prasad to more people than others and make the biggest arrangements, and it all becomes... And then the bands, they're in competition with other bands, so they have to go have a good performance and a lot of dramatics and different instruments, and then they just started introducing women singers, and that became, woo, that was a big success. People liked that. And the whole purpose of kirtan became lost, which is to glorify Krishna. And instead it became glorification of the artists and glorification of the people who sponsored them. So we're told that this Bhakti Fest also, that it's known, the characters of some of the main people who organize that and who are participants in it. They're just lechers, women hunters. That's all. They don't have any pretense not to be anything else. They don't have any dharmic background, even in the roots of their culture. The root of their culture, their hippie culture. It's rather the opposite. They're free sex. Make love, not war. So, they're chanting Hare Krishna. So, well, that's good, isn't it? No. They're not chanting Hare Krishna, and they're not good. Chanting Hare Krishna means to call out to Krishna. Please engage me in your service. But they want to engage Krishna, the name of Krishna in their service to attract women so they can exploit them. So that's not chanting Hare Krishna. It might seem to be, but it's nama-parad of the worst kind. So we shouldn't glorify. We're ordered by Bhagavatam not to glorify people who are like hogs, dogs, camels, and asses. And if they're supposed to be chanting Hare Krishna, we should know that they cannot be chanting Hare Krishna unless they're under the guidance of actual Mahatmas. Asadhu Sange Bhai Krishna Nam Nahi Hoi Krishna Nam Bahare Bhate Tabu Nam Kabu Noi Nam Akar Bahare Bhate Tabu Nam Kabu Noi. This is a statement from Prema Vivarata of Jagadananda Pandit. He states that if we're not in proper association, if we're not under the guidance of proper devotees, then Krishna Nam never manifests. You might pronounce the syllables, but that's not Krishna now. Just like you can buy a deity, but that has to be the deity. The devotee will call Krishna, please accept the service. Then you can worship the deity. Not that you just buy a deity and then deity is a combination of different metals made into a different form. No, the deity is Krishna, but Krishna comes when his devotees call him. Krishna wants to be served by his devotees, not exploited by non-devotees. So, we may think it's great preaching to have. We have also now from this contaminated materialistic culture of holy name. We have that now in our own society, the so-called Kirtan Mela, where the young men with the big muscles are pumping the mridangas, and the young gopis, the young girls are dancing around, all in the name of Krishna Nam. When you just, you know, go out and drink a few beers and do it like that. Why bring Krishna Nam? Why pretend that you're doing it for Krishna? The same thing, the Kirtan Melas, the best Kirtan singers are called. The best means the best musicians. So, to get invited all over the world, there'll be competition. So they have to jack up their performance and make it more and more sophisticated. And people think, oh, that was a really great Kirtan. Who was singing? What's his spiritual life? What's his surrender? What's his service? His service is to go from one gig to another. That's all. And then they have to pay them. Just like someone told me, they wanted, in one temple, he told me that, one devotee told me that he was protesting against calling a devotee, I'm talking about ISKCON temple, about calling a devotee Kirtan group. Saying, no, we don't want them, we'll do Kirtan ourselves, we don't need to call them. And he didn't want to call them because they're so showy. But eventually the temple agreed not to call them because they demanded so much money to come. See, they have their girlfriends to support. Yeah, it's open in the case of the people I'm thinking of. They have their wife and their girlfriend. So they need money. It's good. And then they'll say, well, you know, if you call it, it's similar program with so many people coming, the Kamis would give the group so much money, so you should give us some. It's commercial, completely commercial. So should we go? No. Don't go. Sit here and do Kirtan among yourself. Doesn't matter if it's so spectacular, showy. Do it for the pleasure of Krishna. Krishnarthe kela cheshta. Everything should be done for the happiness of Krishna. For the sake of Krishna. And to understand, it may not be very apparent. What's the difference? It may seem to be the same. The two things are the same. And it's approved by leading devotees, but be very careful. Be very careful. We shouldn't accept something. Having seen the history of ISKCON up to the present time, we should not accept something just because a senior devotee says so. We should study Srila Prabhupada's books and take advantage of the tool of transcendental knowledge that he's given us to discriminate between what is right and what is wrong. Asat Sangha Tyag, a Vaishnava Acharya. Give up the bad association. You can do Kirtan in your home. 3-4 people, you can do. Krishna will be pleased. You don't necessarily have to have it's not that every time you have to have, of course big festivals are nice, but you can do at home also. You don't have to wait to come here. You can do in your home, chant, call your friends. Of course, you're mostly all brahmacharis here, but grihasthas you can do. You can call your friends, chant Hare Krishna, or just with the family members, 3-4. You may not be expert mridanga players, doesn't matter. You chant Hare Krishna, Krishna will be pleased. You can sing together, read together, discuss about Krishna like this. Hare Krishna. Any question about this? So, is the Kirtan Mela evil? Is it all bad? No. But there are elements there which are disturbing, or that we should take note of. Just like, for instance, those who want to go to a Kirtan Mela. Why not? Prabhupada organized Kirtan Mela every day, starting at 4:30 in the morning. How about that? That's a good Kirtan Mela Prabhupada had for us. Follow that first of all. Shravan Kirtan. Hearing also. You have to hear Bhagavatam. No. Hearing and chanting. Just follow Prabhupada's program. And quite honestly, some of the big famous Kirtaniyas at the Kirtan Mela, they never heard of Mangalati. At least, not for many years. They don't know Mangalati. It's like, when you become a really big devotee, you don't go to Mangalati. That's the sign. Used to be, but now everyone imitated them and no one goes, practically. In many places, it's like that. You may even be discouraged. Don't go. Why do you want to go to Mangalati? Why waste your time? You can chant any time. No, we don't say that. Rise early. These are essential. We may think that, well, you know, it's just some fanaticism, but Srila Prabhupada insisted on this, and it makes a great difference. If you follow this program, or if you don't follow, it makes a great difference. So, Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada ki jai.